Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Every Tuesday afternoon, we bring in an expert to answer all of your questions, to give you free advice. The number is 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. And we thought, with the secondary schools shut and the students out on their summer holidays for a whole 3 months, it might be somewhat beneficial and helpful to some parents out there to have senior clinical psychologist Dr. Cleona Cosgrave in studio today to answer your questions about dealing with everything that goes with kids and teenagers. Cleona, how are you? How are things?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on, Andrea.
I'm just thinking 3 whole months.
Yeah, I remember my first year in school and mum saying, right, you're up at 7 and you're doing X, Y and Z jobs. Yeah, yeah. It can be very, very daunting for parents and for young people.
And for teenagers, yeah. I'm sure too, who are probably maybe a little bit concerned about just being bored, hanging around the house all day.
Yeah, yeah. And also they're exhausted. So and at the same time, they need this break. You know, a lot of Leaving Cert and Junior Cert students are just finished their exams. So I'd say in a lot of households, there's a good bit of relief at the moment. But yeah, 3 months looming ahead. I've got smaller kids. They're in primary school. So even that 2 months looming ahead of me with them is quite daunting as a parent trying to fill in all those gaps.
So emotional regulation, I know, was one thing you mentioned you wanted to chat about today. Is it something that we teach kids how to control, or do we teach parents how to manage
that's it? A brilliant question. It's both. We as clinical psychologists need to teach parents how to do that, because when we think about it, the child's brain is in two different compartments. Mm. So think about it. I teach this as like an upstairs brain and a downstairs brain.
Okay.
So children live in this thing called their downstairs brain. That's the limbic system. So, you know, Inside Out movie, the first one.
Yeah.
That's where all of those characters live.
Ah.
In that downstairs brain, they control the show. And it's parents then who have developed, once they reach past their 25 years of age, hopefully, and they have been modeled to be able to regulate, they have developed this pathway between what we call the upstairs brain and the downstairs brain. So it's actually parents that model self-regulation in order to stay calm so that they can explain for young people what's happening to them, put a label on it, validate that feeling. And then young people learn that actually it's okay to tolerate emotions. So we do spend a lot of time running away from feelings that are unpleasant, but actually they're supposed to be there.
So are the teenagers, are they in the downstairs or?
They're in the downstairs.
They're in the downstairs. 100%
downstairs. Well, I wouldn't say 100% downstairs. Yeah, yeah. So it's like a conveyor belt or a staircase between the upstairs brain and the downstairs brain. And it's actually, if you think about parents as the child's central nervous system, some of their modelling staying calm and staying regulated, they're actually slowly but surely wiring those connections in the brain to travel from the upstairs brain to the downstairs brain.
Can you teach yourself as a parent how to do that? You know, because I'm sure if you're at your wit's end and there's maybe, you know, stress with work and God knows what else going on in the family and financial concerns, and then you've, you know, I can only imagine the rows that go on in houses, you know, but can you teach yourself to better manage your own control?
Of course, of course. It takes self-awareness. I trained about 3 years ago as a meditation teacher, and that's been a clincher for me, actually. Okay. And when I mention that word meditation, people tend to roll their eyes. But actually, it's about present moment awareness. So as a parent, at any stage of your parenting, you can train your brain to do this. And not all of us have been modeled by our parents how to regulate. You know, we didn't all have parents who were able to tolerate our emotions as children and to be able to support us to regulate that. But I think we're in a wonderful stage of parenting in our society at the moment where we're so much more open to be able to look at ourselves and take responsibility as parents for our own emotions. So the answer to your question, yes, absolutely. You can train your brain at any age.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. If you have a question or query for senior clinical psychologist Dr. Cleona Cosgrove, this listener is wondering, how do I deal with my 13-year-old that seems totally addicted to the phone, to the mobile? We do have limits in the house, but still awful trouble trying to manage it, and the whole family's affected by it.
Yeah. Phone use, it's a big one at the moment, isn't it? And I suppose it's hard when you've already given the phone when they're 13, you know, and there seems to be a lot of social pressure to give children the phone so young. What I would say is this can't be a managed by the parent only situation. So parenting changes as you're heading into adolescence. You have more control. So there's more room for negotiation with your child. So this cannot be a blanket, this is what we do with our phones in the house response. This needs to be a negotiation with the child. Now, I would say to this listener, really important to figure out, well, what are our family values? So if the phone is taking up X amount of time in your family life, is that eating into meal times as a family? Is it eating into talking time as a family, or even just sitting watching a movie together? So really important to sit with your teenager and have a conversation about what your values are and how you want to spend time with them. And then to, I suppose, put a plan in together in order to try and manage that.
Probably hard to retrospectively introduce time limits or boundaries, is it? Once you've, you know, once you've given them the mobile.
Once you've given the phone, you can't really retract it.
It's hard to then say, well, now we've decided there's no phone between 4 and 5 or whatever.
Yeah, and I, you know what, with, I think the programme Adolescence on Netflix, I've had a lot of parents coming into the clinic terrified, and then they've gone to the extreme and tried to take the phone or, you know, take all the apps. You know, parents taking control like that's not going to work. It needs to be a conversation and a mutual understanding between the parent and child as to what to do here.
Okay.
And also understand that a child, as I said before, is living in that downstairs brain, so that they don't fully understand the consequences of being on their phone for, I don't know how long this young person is living on their phone, but of course they're addicted to it. We're all addicted to our phones. You know, the apps and the algorithms are made to create more clickbait, to create more time on the phone.
So sit down and have a chat with them.
Have a conversation. Have a conversation about the pros and cons of this. And that actually, it should be a family response. It shouldn't just be towards that young person and singling them out.
Now, listener has a teenager who's 12 and point blank refuses to go to school. If I make her, she throws a tantrum and just gets really upset. There's no bullying in school that seems to be involved or that I know of. I have tried to talk to her about it, but I'm at my wit's end. Any advice?
Of course they're at their wit's end, because, you know, we have this idea that all kids have to go to school, you know, and it's really important to get an education. Again, I go back to family values. But point blank refuses to go to school. Why? Like, you know, there's no bullying that they've seen. Really important, again, to have a conversation. Maybe, and I know, you know, there are other people that come into our clinic that say there's no reason. And then when we actually peel it back, there are many, many reasons. Could there be an underlying educational need here? Could the child be struggling with one or two subjects? They say there's no bullying issues, but are they struggling socially? Are they feeling lonely in school? Is there one teacher that maybe they just don't get along with, which can happen?
Yeah.
You know, so again, conversations, I think it's really important to link with the school and find out, because, I mean, your child might be that bridge between home and school, but really, really important for you to bridge that gap as well. Again, when we're talking about, I mean, we're in the summer holidays now, so there's going to be a big gap before this young person is planning to go to school. And if they're 12, chances are they're transitioning to secondary school in September. So I would really hope that this parent would have a chat with the school and be able to, if the child point blank refuses, but be able to collaborate with the child to try and get a graded exposure, to be able to get to school, even if it's for only for an hour a day. So baby steps, rather than flooding the child with a whole new environment.
Is it worth getting, you know, bringing them to like the likes of a clinical psychologist or a doctor or somebody else to maybe tease out or explore the underlying issues here?
Absolutely. One of the things that we would see is school refusal. I mean, it's one of the functions that a child needs to be in, you know, engaging in. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, listener says, I have a 4-year-old son who turns 5 in January. He's in creche at the moment, isn't very sociable with other children. He doesn't engage in activities if he's not interested in them, and often ends up playing by himself. I'm wondering, how will I know when he's ready for school? I'm actually really confused about it, and I don't want to get it wrong.
Oh, I thought your question was going to go in a different direction there. Okay. First of all, I'm thinking there might be some red flags for autism there. So maybe this person needs to think about getting an assessment of need or an autism assessment for this young child. How are they ready for school? I suppose you don't know until you try. If they're in preschool, so if they're 4 going on 5, chances are they're just after finishing their ECI year. So really important to have a conversation with the preschool about how they're getting on there. And like, some children just have a preference for playing alone, and that's okay. So I think at times we can kind of underestimate how much our children can handle.
Yeah.
That actually they can be more resilient than we expect them to be.
Listener has a 6-year-old with sensory needs and emotional regulation issues at times. Can you give advice on how to regulate this across the day to help prevent him being overwhelmed? I really struggle to know how to do that effectively.
Okay. Well, we all need to empty our bucket, as you say. So Yeah, I mean, I'm living with a 6-year-old who finds it difficult to regulate across the day. And I find that if you don't put some kind of input in every 20 minutes, it can be very overwhelming then when they reach to the evening time and it's like their bucket is completely overflowed, or it takes something really minor like the wrong cutlery on the table to set him off. So the advice that I was given from an occupational therapist was really, really helpful. And it was basically thinking of your son or your child as a pint glass full of water, and we need to tip the water out every 20 minutes. So this is not engaging in a big intervention every 20 minutes. So for my son, things like heavy lifting, so getting him to bring in the shopping, weighing his school bag down can be really helpful. He loves throwing himself against things, so throwing the cushions on the sofa and running headfirst at them. In school, things like a sit move cushion, crunchy foods. So it's finding what works for your child. For some kids, it might be a much more like a milder intervention, like, you know, sucking through a really tight straw or small straw, getting them to really work those muscles. For my son, he needs the big stuff. He needs to be literally throwing himself off something, to get that kind of sensory feedback. So that's one way.
For people, Cleona, that want more, skills on how to better improve how they handle all of this, I know you're running a workshop about it next week.
Yes, on Friday and Saturday this week, we're running an amazing program called Emotion Focused Skills Training. It's EFSTP for short. And it is a researched program. The reason why I love it is that it moves away from pathologizing the child as the quote unquote problem. And it works solely through the parents. So the research in Norway on this program is so incredible. It shows that there's effects for 12 months and that actually you don't necessarily need to meet the child
and
to make
a
difference.
People want to go along to it,
please go onto our website, www.solasourth, that's SOLASORT.ie, and our events page has all the details.
Dr. Cleona Cosgrove, Senior Clinical Psychologist, I should say. Cleona, thanks a million for joining
You're
us
so
here
welcome.
On Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.